Hey, y'all. Welcome to Gotta Love Texas Music. I'm Catherine.
I'm Honey.
Hey, Honey.
How are you, baby?
Good.
Man. We had a good week.
We have. But let's talk about this episode. So stinking cool.
It was a lot of fun.
First time we ever had a guest host. And shout out to Luke LaProd for being a guest host and hosting us at his house. So yes. Super cool. This episode, we feature Billy Joe, who is, man,
I cannot believe she's not already nationally headlining.
I'm telling you
she's
what.
Incredible. So she I think so y'all will really like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So here it is. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Gotta Love Texas Music. I'm Catherine.
I'm Tim.
And we are here actually in the middle of nowhere, Fruitvale, hanging out with Billy Joe. Hey, Billy Joe.
Hey.
And today we have a guest host, first time ever. So this is going to be exciting and fun. We have Luke LaProd. Hey, Luke.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good to see you.
I'm so glad you guys are here and letting us hang out at your house, actually, Luke. So
hey,
appreciate it, man.
I'm just glad y'all weren't like, oh, this place sucks.
No, and,
no, it's actually kinda nice.
He made me a mimosa.
Mimosa.
Which the directions for the mimosa will be on the podcast, on the website. Don't worry.
Yep.
So Billy Joe, we met you, golly, it's been a little bit, at Hank's Texas Grill. Mm-hmm. That was so cool. We were actually there to see somebody else, and we just fell in love with you when we heard you sing for the first time. So I'm so excited that you're here. I think you're a cool person.
It's crazy because I'd actually been following y'all before you introduced yourself to me. Like, I knew who y'all were, and then y'all were there to see Peyton.
Yeah.
Right, Peyton?
Yeah. Molly? Yeah, because I think we were recording her the next week
She's
or something.
Absolutely killer.
Dude.
Shout out to her, by the way. I told her that night, and y'all heard me when I was there. I was, like, fangirling, and she's, like, 12. I'm just kidding. She's, like, 19.
19,
but yeah. Still, I'm, like, 31, and I'm looking at her like, this chick is awesome. Like, but
I was so impressed with all of the talent.
Yeah, there were five of y'all there that night.
I mean, everybody out there was phenomenal. And so I just fell in love with you, and I loved your voice, and I liked your personality, and I don't know. I just thought,
even when I forgot the words to my own song in front of everyone.
You know, even the best. Even the best people, you know.
Straight up did.
Don Henley's done it before. So has Conway Twitty. I mean, it's okay. You're there with a... You're there with good company, you know, and that's what live music's all about is, you know, it's not perfect, and that's life, because life isn't perfect either. So that's my opinion. And so why don't you tell us a little about yourself? How did you get into
put you
music?
On the spot?
Yeah. How'd you get into music in the first place?
Let's see, I'm 5'3". No, I'm just kidding.
My social security number is.
And she has a 6-foot-tall voice when she sings.
No. So actually, my grandparents raised me since I was one. And I'm now 31, so they've put up with me for 30 years. But that's why I think I love the older, like, classic traditional country music so much. Mm-hmm. I was raised on... George Jones, Tammy Wynette, Loretta Lynn,
yeah.
Ray Price, the Oak Ridge Boys. I don't know. There's a bunch. But I try to kind of bring their music into, you know, what I'm singing or what I'm writing, or I try to. It's really kind of hard to
right.
do sometimes. But yeah, my grandparents raised me, and my dad was still a pretty big part of my life, even though I didn't, like, live with him. I mean, I did it every now and then, I guess, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But he's the one that taught me how to play the guitar, and that's why the song, the Keith Whitley song that I sing, When You Say Nothing At All, that was the first song that I ever learned how to play.
Dang.
And my dad taught me that, and my grandparents had me, I would sing at, you know, local school things, and I got started singing the national anthem. My superintendent, I'll never forget this, Mr. David Seago, shout out to him.
Where at?
In Emory, Texas.
Okay.
And that's where I graduated from. And when I was, like, 15 years old, he got me to sing the national anthem for the girls' state basketball playoffs in Austin. So we got to travel to Austin, and I did that, you know, 3 or 4 years in a row.
How freaking cool.
And so because of him, he's the reason I actually, like, learned to sing the national anthem and then started singing at other places. So I kind of got off topic there, but I was just thinking about that. Because, you know, the Rangers, I just got done with the Rangers thing.
And it's just
been pretty cool to see kind of where I was and like, where I am now because of it.
Those little things.
Yeah. And, like, my dad... my grandparents raised me, like, in church and the local operas and stuff, and my dad was, like, the I don't know, kind of like the bad seed, I guess, maybe, but not so much of a bad seed. He's the one that snuck me into bars and threw me up on stage with whatever band he could pay to, you know, let me sing a song with them, you know.
Oh, that's
thing.
Awesome.
So that's where I learned my love of, like, performing, like, country music, like, you know, in a restaurant or a bar, like, whatever. So,
right. That's funny. And how old were you when he was doing all that?
14,
okay.
15.
Okay.
Not too crazy. He probably did it a couple times when I was, like, 12, but I don't know. It's a long time ago for That's me funny. To remember.
My dad called that social skills.
Yes.
I love it. My dad was kind of the black sheep, too. I was actually raised by my grandparents, but
oh, cool.
I don't want to hijack.
No, you're good. I didn't know that.
So you're talking about doing the national anthem. I mean, that can make or break a career.
Oh yeah.
We have seen people totally destroy careers over that. You know, so.
Oh, and it's such a hard. I mean, okay.
It's a hard song to sing. I don't care what anyone says.
It is a hard song. To sing well.
And to not mess up the words.
Oh yeah, and you're sitting there going, you know, if I mess up even one word, that mm-hmm. makes it even worse. People are going to nitpick me to death. And
yes.
Let's talk about funny stories.
We
talked about a little bit before we got on here. I have one that's pretty embarrassing.
This is good.
It's real good. Probably, how old am I? 31. I was probably 24, maybe. I was singing for one of the Miss Texas pageants in Plano, Texas.
Okay.
And it's all recorded. And it goes on TV, and it was kind of like a pre-recorded thing. Like, they record it, and then they, you know, air it on TV later, mm-hmm. whatever. So I was the special music, but I also got to sing the national anthem. And I got up there, and that's the one song, still to this day. Even 3 days ago when I sang, you know, in a stadium with however thousands of people were there, I shake, and I get super nervous, and I have to, like, take deep breaths and, like, you know, just calm down, you know. And when I sang for this Miss Texas pageant, I messed up the words completely. I started singing, I would say, "Can you see," blah, blah, blah. And I immediately skipped, like, the second half of the verse and went straight to the, whatever, that part. And messed up the whole thing. And so everyone still clapped. It was fine, whatever. And as soon as I walked off stage, they're like, can you just be sure and hang around at the end? We're going to have to re-record that.
Did you know you messed up?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. I knew it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, I just butchered this song, and it's the worst thing. And I literally, like, wanted to cry, and I didn't cry, but I was just like, what did you just do? Like, what just happened? Like, it just happened so fast. And so at the end of the show, after the whole pageant was over, I got on stage and re-sang the song. Yeah. And so, wow. But to this day, I have, knock on wood, have not messed up the words.
I would have, yes. I'm sorry, that probably would have been the very last time I ever sang that song. I'd have been like, I'll do anything else you want. I'll do whatever, but not that.
You've got, like, the Fergie benefit, because you can't do worse than that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I've never done
Roseanne.
That.
Roseanne Connor, yeah.
I've turned it down every time. You're way braver than I am. I would never do that song.
Mesquite Rodeo is looking for somebody to sing.
I've been talking to her, but it's on, I think, Fridays or Saturdays, maybe, nights or something. And I have none, like, right now.
Well, don't feel bad. I grew up in the military. My dad was a military man. Mm-hmm. So we had to sing it every day. And every time we went to the movies, they always played it before the movies, which I know that's unusual to non-military kids, but before every movie they would play it, and I probably would not know the words. I mean, even though I know the words and I've sang it thousands and thousands of times, if you asked me to write down the words, I probably couldn't do it.
I would have to sing them, kind of like the preamble to the Constitution.
Yeah, you'd have to do it like Schoolhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about, you know, growing up and listening to old country. What's your, who is your, probably your biggest influence?
Man, there's a lot. If I had to narrow it down, just from, like, more of my, like, life story, it'd probably be Loretta Lynn. She's kind of one of my, I think she's the queen of country music in my eyes. But she has, I think she has 6 kids, I'm pretty sure. And she, I think 5 or 6, I think it's 6. And so I have kiddos. So she had her career, I think she had a couple of kids in the middle of, like, with her career, and then still had kids, you know, throughout her career. Whatever.
Right.
And so I got married at a young age and had kiddos and all that good stuff. And so mine's kind of in my mind backwards, where I'm like, you know, you know, should have kind of done the music thing a little bit, you know, more before deciding to like get married, whatever. But I love my kiddos to death, but it's also, it's really hard. This music business is hard, and it's even harder when you have kiddos and stuff, yeah. Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, she has kids. She can't go on tour. She can't go do this. And I'm like, yes, you can. Like, yeah, you can. There's tons of people out there that are doing it right now.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And so, yeah, so I don't even know where I was going with that. Besides that, her life is kind of, I just relate to her a lot because she had a career and she had kids and she made it work and she was amazing.
And
so,
she is amazing. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think she had four the first time she went, or three the first time she went to the opera.
Well, I mean, and she already had three. She was a rebel.
Yes.
I mean, she was blacklisted and everything else from radio stations back in the day because the things that she was singing a woman shouldn't be singing and talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, she's a hero. But I agree.
Yeah, and she paved the way. Yeah, I literally was about to say that. She paved the way. I think because of her, that's why country music is better.
Especially for women. Yeah. For sure.
Well, you look back at the original, what was that song? I Didn't Know God Made Honky Tonk Angels. And then Kitty Wells retorted with her version.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
I can't remember now. I just totally slipped my mind. Yeah, I looked at you and I totally slipped my mind. But it was basically like, screw you. I ain't a honky-tonk angel. You know? So it was hard on women back then. I mean, it was totally ran by men, and they were misogynist.
Big time.
I mean, still.
They can be sometimes
still. It's kind of still going on, especially, but we won't get into that.
I mean, especially in the music industry and things like that.
I could go on a rant.
No, we don't want to do that. I mean, it could be fun. I don't know. So you're going to play us a song.
Yeah.
What do you want to play us first?
I will knock this one out that you said is one of your favorites.
Oh, it is. Redneckin'?
Yeah.
I love Redneckin'. This song.
It's like a love-hate relationship with this song.
And
like,
the simpler way of life, that's one of my favorites, too. I love that one, too. Yeah. Actually, I like all of your songs, but I do. I like Redneckin' because it's fun.
We were listening to all of them on the way up.
Oh, yeah. They're all on my playlist, so.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, this one, I just released it. Well, I guess back in December, right? And it's still holding on, still hanging on the charts somehow. And it's been like, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
Almost 6 months, probably? I'm asking you, and you can shake your head.
Well, I know it was released on the 10th.
Of December?
The 21st of December.
Yeah. So okay, whatever, so that, whatever exactly that is. I don't know. Months, yeah. So it's going really well. It's like my only song that... I went from having like 300 monthly followers on Spotify. It shot up to almost 10,000 monthly followers, but now it's kind of like going back down. It's like, I don't know, Spotify's weird.
That's
like
funny.
You can have 10,000 followers, and then once your song is like losing its like momentum, I guess it like drops down. So now I have like 2,000, 3,000.
Yeah, you need another one for sure. For sure.
But this one wound up having over 30,000 streams right now, so that's pretty
phenomenal.
Pretty cool. That's like none good. My other stuff had about 5 or 6 thousand. So. But this song is called Redneckin', and I wrote this with Miss Tammy Marler. And, my best friend hates this song, so I'll add that in there. They say Prince Charming comes in a suit and tie, he'll take you to the nicest places every Friday night. He'll buy you a diamond ring and pretty things, and I know I just can't see myself as a trophy wife. A redneck in blue jeans, wearing country boy kind of life. Hardworking can fix what's broken, hangs out on a Saturday night with his long neck in his long chair. You a million if you just give him time. You'll have the latest cell phone, smart TV, and gamers over every night. I just can't see myself spending that much time inside. For a redneck in blue jean, wearing country boy kind of life. Hard working can fix what's broken, hangs out on a Saturday night with his long neck in his chair out in the middle of nowhere. and then one flirty text won't replace the one good long kiss. If a redneck in blue jean wearing country boy kind of lie, hard working can fix what's broken, hangs out on a Saturday night with his long neck in his lawn chair. Him, I know I'm supposed to be out there rednecking. Ooh, rednecking.
I love that song.
Can we clap? And,
yeah, we can. It's so fun, and it's so funny because I try not to sing along because
I was having to turn her mic off
with a couple, because I just, that's what I sing to every song. I crank it up and I sing, and it's so hard to when we're recording because nobody wants to hear me in the background. I promise you. Man, I just love that, and I'm y'all are just Billy's wife, Billy Joe's husband's here, and
Billy
Justin.
Joe's wife. You caught that right?
I'm Justin. So, but and it's so cute because they're very cute together, and that's just you are.
Mr. Billy Joe's, good to see you.
I had to kick somebody's. But I mean, it's so because it brings a picture of COVID to me, because we would pull the 54 Chevy at the top of our property because we live on one, a major, road that lots and lots of people drive by. And we would have a cooler of beer sitting on the tailgate, drinking our long necks, waving to people passing by, because it's not like you could go anywhere.
Yeah, we didn't have anything else to do.
So anyway, it was pretty funny. So that's what we think of it, just hanging out in the middle of the country, hanging out with my honey.
Yeah, don't let her fool you. She's my trophy wife.
I love
that. That is too funny.
His daughter, she's 7, her name's Royce, and when she heard this song, she was like, oh my gosh, you wrote this about my dad. And I was like, yeah, I wrote it about your dad, even though I recorded this, before I met him, because I actually recorded the song.
I was there.
Oh, you were there, but I'd wrote it before I'd met him, though.
Okay.
But we recorded this 4 years ago, probably, and we just released it. I recorded it with Chad Malden.
Okay.
Over in Gladewater, Texas. And so, yeah, but I just told her, like, yeah, I wrote it about your dad, so she thinks I wrote it about
But it works.
Dad.
I mean, I would have thought that you would
have. I made
have
a whole, little video. I don't know if you ever saw, I made all these video clips of him that I've had over the past few years, and when I released it, is it a reel? Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Something like that on Spotify. It shows.
And that's why I thought that you wrote it about him. Because I really thought that that's what but that's funny.
Yeah.
That's
I don't
okay.
know. That's why I would
Art
have never
imitates
made it.
Real life all the time.
I would have never, ever dated somebody that was a singer-songwriter. I'd be so scared that it would end up like one of those.
It would almost
30 be- years later, you're that person that the song was written about.
Well, or
like
or
a Taylor
even,
Swift thing.
Even worse than that would be a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would be fodder for my husband's comedic act all day long because I'm always doing something stupid. But, man, I love that song. Let's talk about your songwriting process. How does that normally go? What do you do? Do you come up with the words first? Do you come up with, the melody? Do you do it alone? Do you work with, a team?
I have. I really haven't written that many. I think I have about 10 or 12-ish. And I've wrote one completely by myself, and that was the song I wrote for my grandparents, which took a really long time to write because I would start writing and cry. And then write some more and then try and sing, and voice recorded the whole thing, most of it, the whole thing, when I tried to write it, and I would just write and I would just cry and write and cry. So that took quite a while to finish that, but I love to co-write more, and honestly I'm better if someone already has either a title or some words already, and I can kind of just add to them, or add my own verse in or whatever. For instance, if Tammy says I have this song that I want to write about a bad guy, And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Kind of like being like the female being the bad guy or whatever. And I'm like, well, I already kind of started writing this song. That it kind of, it almost kind of went together. And it, like, I already had like a verse and a little bit of a chorus. And then we kind of added in the bad guy part or whatever. Okay. So it's like, it just kind of depends on who you're writing with. I've been super comfortable with Tammy because I've known her for ever since I was probably 12 years old. We grew up, she's from Emory too. But I mean, she's a published songwriter and writes with a ton of people and has literally writes 5 songs a day. I don't know, something crazy. Like, and she's really good. And, but I have been venturing out and trying to write with, you know, different people and stuff too. So it really just depends. Everyone kind of has their own process. So it's like, if me and Luke sat down and like wanted to write a song, like he would have a totally different process of like what I would have, you know, my process. But sometimes it's like those would like work. Like those together. Would mesh, you know, pretty well. Or if he already has a song and he's like, here, I want you to look at this. Like I'm kind of better at looking at stuff and like rephrasing or like rewording or taking this out and putting this in. I'm kind of better on that end rather than like trying to come up with the whole thing. Like the whole idea or whatever, like by myself.
So it's kind of like Jenga songwriting. Kind of like that. Just make it perfect, you know?
Yeah. I have a song idea that I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Yeah.
I think y'all's song's already been written like Leather and Lace or, you know. It's already been done.
Yeah. So when we were talking about
how. He stumped him. He's like, he doesn't know what to say right now.
No, he's like, well, which one am I?
When we were talking about having Luke on as the guest host, I was like, how's this going to work? Because they're just two completely different styles of musicians, two completely different personalities. Yeah. I'm like, this is going to be really good or.
I was afraid Billy's going to freak out.
Well, and I have to look at it.
I don't know if you remember, but. Years ago, I think you were playing at Circle. Was it Circle M?
Probably.
And I walked up to you and was like, "Hey, I sing blah blah blah."
Yeah, you did.
Would you let me sing a song or two or something? That's and he did, like gave me his guitar and like I got to sing a couple of songs. And this was like way before I started like you know doing like my own thing. It's probably been 8 years ago. He probably just now remembered. I've known him for quite a while and I mean I follow his stuff and I know that he's doing his own thing, I'm doing my own thing, so we don't really get to go and like support each other or see each other's shows because we're the musicians. Too busy. That's what we do.
It's hard to go see other people sing when you're
it really is
my biggest like impression like memory of you is like when you kicked everyone's ass and y'all can bleep that off if you need to. We did this competition, I don't know where he was, Gilmer or something, I don't know, is a something for like American Idol or something.
Bunch of us went to this
competition. You remember that?
Oh my gosh, I just remembered that. Yeah,
I was super green. I wasn't very good, but I was good at that song. But when I went up there, I was so scared that I didn't even sing it on key.
I think I was last. Was I last or second?
Was it like
last?
A singer songwriter competition?
It was a competition to get a golden ticket or to get like front row for American Idol tryouts or something.
Okay,
yeah. And like I go outside so I can try to warm up. And there's like 4 or 5 other people outside, and there's just like one. Little blonde girl in like a red dress, I think, hiding in the corner over there. And so I was like, okay, cool. And so we're all trying to warm up. Then we start hearing this. And we're like, what? So like everyone, you probably didn't notice.
Everybody stopped.
Everyone's just like, what's going on? And she does her song because you're literally singing into a corner.
Yeah, well, because if you like, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you sing into the corner, back. It's like it comes back. Like it's like you're in a microphone. Yeah.
Like, she like turns around and her eyes are like this big. She's like, what are y'all looking at? And he was like, he says to me, you go. Do you think it was all right? Do you think? And I was like, I forfeit. No one with me was like, yeah, you already won this thing. You haven't even tried it. And sure enough, I think you won it, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I did. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's how I got to go to American Idol and got my tail kicked in Hollywood Week, to be honest. But
really?
I couldn't imagine that.
How was that?
It was the worst experience of my life.
Was it?
To be honest, I've been on The Voice and I've been on the Real Country TV show. The Voice was like hands down, like they treated you like royalty, like. It was amazing. I loved that whole experience. American Idol was kind of like, you ever been to like a cattle drive?
And you're see, like, that's what I was picturing.
You know, like that's literally what it is. And they're like yelling at you, go here, do this. You know, whatever. I wasn't cut out for that.
Bro, I did a private audition for The Voice and I got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
It was like people that aren't even musicians like you and me.
Man, you don't realize how many rounds you actually have to go through before you even step foot in front of the judges. And I did wind up going in front of the judges, but... Side note, they also pick the song for you that you're going to sing in front of the judges. You don't pick that.
What?
No. They pick the song for you. I had to sing White Liar by Miranda Lambert.
Nothing.
Which is, I will never sing that song to this day, have not, since I was on that show.
So now we know the answer to the question of what song do you hate getting requested to sing?
White Liar.
That would
and
be it. Don't
luckily,
do it,
luckily, I have only got a request for that one time. One time in the past since 2013. That's when I was on The Voice. One time since then have I gotten that request. And now people are going to hear this. They're just going to deliberately do it, I feel like.
Right. Oh, every show.
And I'm going to be like, no.
Every show.
I would look at him straight in the face.
$1,000, I will do it.
I'd look at him straight in the face and go, I'm so sorry, I don't know it.
Bro, I'm going to message you one day when you're on stage. I'm just going to send White Liar.
You're going to be like, White Liar. I'm going to be like, Luke, send me $1,000.
Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, but...
I think we stopped listening to The Voice and all that whenever that Barbie... We've said this before in the podcast.
That was American Idol.
There was American Idol where the weird guy sang Barbie Girl, and it went viral, Barbie World or whatever it is. And he was just this poor, simple guy that... You know, they were just using to do ratings, and at that point I was done with it.
Yeah, when it became more about the awful musicians than...
It's a lot about stories and stuff.
Oh, for sure. You almost have to have a sob story.
They kind of like, they take it and run with it and make it more like worse than it is. But that's, I think, honestly, that sounded so good. Yeah. that fresh Dr. Pepper opening, I tell you, you know? No, I'm still good. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think, too. And it's... I mean,
but it is still, like, if you want to do that, like, go for it.
Go for
like,
it.
Anyone 100%. That's listening, like, I've done American Idol, I've done The Voice, and I was, you know, blessed. I was top 100 on each of those. So it's still a really cool experience. And I did get, you know, some other things out of it with, you know, performances and just the people that you meet. You build those relationships, and you have, you know, this person that lives in California, and I know this person that lives in Nashville. You know, it's just kind of, it's networking and stuff. So, I mean, for sure, go for it. But don't.
Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah. I mean, have fun with it. I mean, have fun because I was so, like, focused on, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I didn't really have fun because it was just draining.
I don't think it's just what everybody thinks is you're going to win and you're going to be discovered and you're going to be really big. I can't think of anybody.
Here's another side note. I would not want to win. I probably wouldn't even want to be top 10 because you're under those contracts.
They own you.
And they own you. And I think Carrie Underwood finally bought herself out of it, out of the contract
that
they
had.
And I can only imagine what that costs.
And anything you write in like a X amount of time period, they own.
They own
that. So you're better off just not releasing anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why that girl...
Yeah, that girl pulled out this past season. The one that was like really good, she pulled out because she had, I guess, another like... opportunity or something. I don't know. But
Yeah,
it's kind of, I don't know.
There's
a bunch of stuff.
I don't know.
You playing footsies at the table here.
You did that ABC thing with like Jake Owen and all that too, didn't you?
Who?
Jake Owen and all
that? Oh,
didn't you
USA.
That? Yeah, I thought
was
that was cool.
Jake Owen, Travis Tritt, and Shania Twain. I was on Shania Twain's team. This was like 2018. And that was really cool. But they only did one season of that. I wish they could have like tweaked it and I came back with.
Yeah.
You know, because that was all filmed in Nashville.
That made East Texas proud.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was really cool. And that was more like real talent musicians.
Yeah, and it was like a show. Like I really didn't feel like a competition until obviously the stars or the score part of it or whatever. Like when you're on that stage, it's just like you're just performing in front of everyone. Like,
and so you do all sorts of songwriting competitions and stuff too.
I do.
We saw you at I can't even imagine. Yeah, we saw you at Wildflower Festival in
Richardson, wasn't it? No, it was Richardson.
Yeah, and you made the top 10 there
because
that's how we got to see you play.
Yeah.
That was very cool. And then you were saying just a second ago that you were in another songwriting competition.
Yes, I made, I did Larry Joe Taylor. That was my first time I ever do that, and I was top 20 there, or 22, I think it was. That was really cool. That was a super fun experience. I would do that again.
And is that like at the Larry Joe Taylor Fest?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like not during the fest. It's like a couple weeks before, I think, two or three weeks before. That was really cool. And I met a lot of really cool people there.
I bet.
But then my other one that I did was, I made top 8 in the Jack Ingram singer songwriter competition in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And that was with TXSU, I don't know, something, I butchered that, whatever. The Texas Songwriting gosh, I don't know, whatever, I butchered it. Anyway, I'll look it up, the ones and it'll be it on the... Yes, please be on our tag them on it, because yeah, they and they're going to do that again this year, so everyone should go and submit songs and all that stuff, because
oh, very nice.
They put you up in a hotel room for a couple days. We got to sit and play a couple of our songs in front of Jack Ingram, Liz Rose, and the Warren Brothers, who are just extremely well-known songwriters.
Yeah.
Liz Rose wrote Girl Crush, as well as most of Taylor Swift's stuff. Mm-hmm. The Warren Brothers, their biggest, one of their biggest hits was Red Solo Cup. which, right, and they said, we hate this song, but it made us a lot of money.
You know?
That's what he said. But we got to sit down and have like an intimate, like there was eight of us, and we got to sit in the room, write, sing our songs that we wrote, and they all had, you know, our songs, and they would like critique us like after, which is nerve-wracking, but it's really cool at the same time, because they're like, you know, I would do this, or I would change this, man, to this, or, you know, whatever. Like, it was really cool. It was really inspiring to see that. And then we got to do a showcase with Jack Ingram at the Saxon Pub in Austin. So that was really cool.
How
that was
neat.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Very, very cool. I mean, that's just crazy how you just had all of these just amazing opportunities.
Yeah.
And we were talking on the way here, and he was like, how in the world has she not just... exploded, because you've got the personality, you've got the charm, and I don't want to say this being I mean, if, and you've got the talent, for gosh, I mean, ridiculous,
but you've got the brand is what I was thinking,
but you
is,
also,
you know,
you have the brand, but you're a, I mean, you're beautiful and adorable too, so I mean, and looks play a part in the whole package. I mean, they do. I mean, and
that's why I'm never famous, the looks.
Well, she's also got a bus and a Bedell guitar, so she's like set forever.
I definitely don't have a bus.
What? A Bedell guitar?
Are you talking about that post I made?
I seen you posting about a bus, dude.
Oh my gosh. Everyone's
I've been bragging
said
about
for that
all the time.
April Fool's, dude. It was on April Fool's. And I photoshopped a picture of me on the side of this really cool tour bus.
Dude, my heart is broke.
No, listen. And you have no idea how many people really think that was real. And I'm like, this is awesome. People really think I have a bus. And
for
I really
sure,
don't.
Dude. I thought you had.
If someone wants to buy me a bus, that'd be awesome.
You still got the Bedell,
that out. I do have
say
a
Bedell. No to drugs,
I
dude.
Dude, I took it like a Snapchat filter with my hair cut off. Everyone believed that, but. Bus.
Did
you
seriously?
You got me this long.
Well,
so.
I was sitting there thinking, like,
I was
what?
So proud.
I was like, what could I post? You know that that people would believe, or like, you know, and I'm like sitting there, like, I could do this.
I believed,
would be stupid.
I believed it until just
I was
now.
Like, me and Jessica broke up. We're not best friends anymore. You know, I don't know, just like something stupid.
I think and, but people might say hurtful things if you do that.
They might. Yeah. They might. Well, then. Yeah, so, yeah, the bus, I, like, straight up, and it was obviously Photoshop if you clicked on it.
That's hilarious.
I was just scrolling, I was just scrolling, I was
like, he was like, heck yeah, look at that.
I was like, good for Billy. I was like, there's hope in Grandsling, Texas.
Oh my God.
You're going to crap today. The rest of your life.
That just made my day.
Now my hope just got just, like, tossed.
I just shattered.
It's like, I'm
I just
never
shattered
go.
Your heart.
My heart's broken.
Let's go back to this guitar. I'm not familiar with this guitar.
Bedell?
Yeah. Tell
okay,
me about it.
Well, it's amazing. To be honest, I bought it because of the turquoise. See how the turquoise
yeah. I like it. The turquoise
dots. I
do.
It's,
like yeah. the back has
oh,
the turquoise.
Oh, very cute.
On the eighth day, God said there will be Bedells. Then there was.
I love them. They're actually, they're in a store in Hawkins. Mm-hmm. Action Sound. Yeah. In
Kelly.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's amazing. Like fixes my guitars all the time, or
he can set up a guitar like
he
that.
He can in like
very
5
nice.
Seconds. They're amazing.
My there. Guitar got ruined and he fixed it in like an hour.
So he's the yeah. Luther beautiful. To go to?
Yeah. He's definitely, if anyone asks me where to go to for like guitars or
but it's a beautiful guitar,
even buying new or used guitars, he has like
and that's in
everything.
Hawkins?
Mm-hmm, in Hawkins.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going.
Yeah, he
really?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought he like bought
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. What'd you say, Justin?
Oh, he's like one of the leading salesmen of these Bedell guitars.
Oh, they're beautiful.
They're
yeah,
all
they're
over
all
the,
American made. Like yeah. You had to look it up, Bedell guitars.
I will because
yeah.
I've never seen
I
one before.
I really want a sponsorship from them, so I'm gonna
okay.
throw that
dude,
out.
Could you imagine?
Hit her up, and we're looking
like,
for sponsors
please,
too.
We'll
sponsor Billy, so she'll give me like one of hers when you give her
exactly.
New one.
Because yeah. we talk about a lot of, you know, the places
yeah.
that we've been and the people, you know, good things that we love.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
People like that.
And it's all for free. Right. And it's yeah. all, we don't make any money on this. We yeah. need to. We do need sponsors. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put that back in.
Shout
we
out. Need Sid Vodka. Come sponsor these guys.
Yes.
They're great. They'll yes. probably make you more money than I do. Come
so,
on.
So you're going to play us another song on this beautiful guitar. What song are you going to play next?
I do like that turquoise. I didn't notice that before because it was kind of below where I was looking.
Yeah.
I love it. And these little things too.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I'll take a picture of it. It'll be on the
this
website.
Sound though. Those things sound
oh, the
phenomenal.
Sound
they play
is
like
really
butter.
Oh, yeah. So I guess I'll do the one that I was on the top eight on the Jackie Grimm Singer Songwriter competition.
Okay.
They paired us up. There's eight of us. And they paired us up and they said, you've got 30 minutes. Go back there, write a song with whoever we pair you up with. Come back and sing it for us. So number one, I was freaking out because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no way. Like, it's taken me 2 years to write a song before. Like,
it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't even give you like a top. You just had to come up with everything.
Everything. And I think they kind of had it like planned, to be honest, of like who they would like pair up or whatever. I like secretly had a couple of people that I was like, I'd already heard their stuff. And I'm like, oh man, it'd be really cool to write with them, you know?
Yeah.
It worked out in my favor because it was one of the ones that I really wanted to write with. His name is Garrett Bradford. He lives in Weatherford, Texas, and he had a hit song on the TV show Yellowstone this past season.
Okay.
He is incredible, and I literally, he makes me really mad. I even told him, like, when we were writing and, like, afterwards, like, we still keep in touch, and I could literally tell him to write a song about that green light over there, and he could write one within, like, 30 seconds.
And it would be beautiful.
And it would be beautiful. Like, and he's crazy talented. Super good dude, but we sat down and got to write this song together and went back and sang it in front of Jackie Grimm, Liz Rose, and the Warren Brothers. And it turned out pretty cool. And I told him I want to record it one day, so I probably will.
Okay. And what's it called?
Chance I Had to Take.
Oh, I have heard this before.
Yes.
I love this song.
Yes. This is one of the ones I did in the Larry Joe Taylor Fest, too. I hate the way these tears mess up my makeup. Told myself I wasn't gonna cry. They just played our song on the radio. You know how I get when I drink wine. Dealer for the cards, just like I don't blame you for these scars. We both went all in on what could have been. When you cash your chips, you took my heart. You're just a runner.
I do. I love that song. I know. You want to clap. And I mean, I've always, I mean, my mama raised me right. And so, I mean, I clap, but it's so hard to in this. But so, and you just get so many pictures. But I think that my very favorite line is like, always in the distance, like water in the desert. I'm like, dude, that's deep.
Just another chance I had to take.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because that hints to like, you're like, kind of like gambling, kind of like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame the dealer. Side, like, yeah, for the cards. And then.
Like your wilder side, like, oh, I'm going to do it. You know?
And then when you cast your chips, what do you say? You stole or you broke my heart? Something like that. Cast your chips.
When you cast your chips, you took my heart?
Yeah.
Took my heart. Took my heart.
Yeah.
Man.
I was like, I don't know. I'm like,
I don't know. I have to
like
sing
that's
it.
What chips were, right?
And the whole time I'm sitting here, and that's even hear one of the words. I was watching your playing, and you're spot on. Yeah. Your guitar playing is dead on.
Thanks.
I mean, there's not like a missed note. There's not like a, well, she kind of played an E minor. It was, I mean, it was boom, boom, boom.
So you pretty said impressed. That, and you said that your dad kind of like.
I did. I taught
you, but did you take lessons, or is everything else like?
I mean, your guitar playing is absolutely awesome.
Gorgeous.
It really
yeah.
is.
Well, so when I was around 14, 15, my grandparents got me a guitar, and my dad taught me a few things, and I took lessons from a guy over in Point, Texas. His name was Buck, and so he taught me quite
was
a bit.
Was it in the back of a gas station or anything?
I mean,
Buck and Point.
It was literally, it really is. I mean, have you ever been over to the Cotton Pickin' Theater? I grew up singing there. That's not a thing anymore, but it used to be back, you know, 100 years ago, I feel like. But anyway, so he taught me a little bit, and then I kind of got bored with it, and I got really mad because when you are starting to play guitar, your fingers are going to hurt like really, really, really,
that's
really,
why I quit.
Really bad.
Yeah. That's why I quit.
And yeah. I quit for several years, and I picked it up every now and then. And then, you know, I got married and had kiddos and stuff and kind of played, but not really played, you know. I guess I was around 23, 24. I was like, I had my divorce, whatever. And I was like, I'm going to do this music thing. So I picked up the guitar and started really like, really trying and really playing as much as I could. And I can't do anything fancy. I honestly can't play bar chords to save my life, like at all. You'll never see me do that probably. I want to, but it's my hands are, they can't
little
see,
bitty.
But my hands are super tiny. And I honestly play guitar wrong. Like if you see me, my wrist comes down here and it's supposed to be like
supposed to,
this.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. I don't know why. I guess it's because it's how I learned to play, and
right.
I taught myself wrong, apparently. Anyway, where I was going with that, I had to work really, really, really hard, and honestly got, you know, a lot better at it these past, like, probably five or six years now. So I encourage all younger people to learn it while you're younger. I really do, because it's much easier to learn things, I think, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, you suck in more knowledge. You're more susceptible to learning when you're younger.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I started learning when I was, like, 15, and... It was like the worst 2.5 years of my life just trying to
stay
at
times.
It. But like I'm a slow learner. Like I taught people, well, it took me 2 years and like 3 months before. And I was like, I think it's just because I'm dumb. I'm real pretty. I'm just not very smart, you know? But yeah, there's a time period where you just have to grind it out. Once you get past that, you're good. But
I don't know. I started when I was 55.
You're in the grinding it out stage.
I'm in the grinding it out. And I do. I practice a couple hours a day, and it's very slow, very tedious, but it's something I made myself a promise.
Yeah. So, I mean, you played in front of some of some really freaking big audiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had lots of different opportunities. What's your favorite place you've ever? So it doesn't have to be a place. It can be like your favorite show where everything was just the stars aligned and it was like, ah. Perfect.
Well, I have two.
Okay.
One of them was when I was 18 years old. I got to open for Ray Price.
Wow.
That was like
very nice.
That was like, you know, one of the highlights of my life. Just because I love him. I love him, and I've always loved his music. My grandparents love him. We actually got to share a birthday party together when I turned 19, and we shared a birthday party at a mutual friend's house. This lady, by the name of Corinne Schwab. She was the one that got me into music or one of the ones that helped me get into music. And she paid for my entire gospel album that I recorded when I was 19. And that's how she got me in front of Ray Price and got to open for him and stuff. So that was a really cool part of my life. And then the most recent one was hands down the stars aligned. And I felt like, man, this is everything. This is really cool. I got to play this really awesome venue in Fredericksburg called the Backyard Amphitheater in Fredericksburg. And that's where I opened for Diamond Rio. My full band did. And it was amazing. It was literally amazing. It was one of the best shows I'd ever had. merch. People bought tons and tons of merch. They took pictures with me. I took, I don't know how many pictures I took with people, you know, when I was done singing. And then after even Diamond Rio sang, people like stopped me when I was out in the audience, like, and took pictures. So it just, I don't know, just, oh, I felt like a star, nice. You know, it was just one of those moments where I was like, man, this is it. Like, this is cool.
Very cool.
So, and I love that. Like, I feel like I'll always be one of those people. Even if I just stay where I'm at right now, or if I get, you know, a little bit bigger as I go, like, I always want to be that person that I want to stay to the very last person is, you know, that's in line, sees me and meets me or whatever. Right. Like, I love meeting people, love talking to people. I honestly don't look like I like meeting people sometimes because I may have, you know, one of those faces that is not, you know, the greatest face, because I don't really smile like a whole bunch, you know, so people are kind of like intimidated by me, I think. I've been told, to be honest, that I have, you know, that resting face.
I never found that.
Well,
I've never seen you.
But I've been
happy.
Told that I have. So, just depends. If I'm really stressed out, like, sound stresses me out. I don't like running my own sound. I hate it. Like, but I have to a lot of the times. Oh. And it's like, if something goes wrong, I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be so bad. Like, this is awful. You know, like, and I know how to run sound. I just don't really, I don't like it.
Right.
Like, I don't like to have
to
deal with it.
You don't want to focus on everything.
So sometimes I kind of have, you know.
That's a stressed face.
I have a stressed face, I guess, is what it would be.
Well, it's kind of like they were talking about Chicago. The drummer was sitting there literally playing the drums and running sound as he was doing it at the same time, and he finally just had enough.
Yeah.
And said, crazy. I'm done. Yeah.
So. That's insane. I just can't.
So there's something about the hill country, though. That whole area is just so,
yeah.
You know, all those wineries going from Fredericksburg to Johnson City.
And the crowd, it doesn't matter who's there or visitors or whatever, the crowd just treats you like you're a superstar. Mm-hmm. I play at Hondo's every other month. I have for the past like 3 years, and it's my favorite place to play. And they're incredible. They just, they walk in there, they want to listen to music, they want to be there, mm-hmm. they want to hear live music, you know, and no offense to East Texas, but y'all kind of got to step it up a little bit.
You know, I mean, and that's what we've talked about. So speaking,
can you agree to that? You know, East Texas is just depends on where
well,
you are.
Well, I don't mean to knock East Texas, but you know, when I was making fun of Point, I work for the city of Lone Oak. We want to say what I did there, but
did you really?
Yeah. So the problem with all of East Texas is the everywhere in Texas that there's a lake. There seems to be a meth problem too.
Yeah, there
you
does.
Know. It's,
you know, I'm gonna reel this conversation back in. So
I didn't mean to make fun of Point.
You've been to Lake Holbrook.
Point has gotten a little better.
That's probably.
So
in case you haven't noticed, if you look behind homie here, I've got a crack rock.
That is not a crack rock. That's a
45-pound crack rock.
That's a block of salt.
That's a block of salt from, you know, Grand
Saline, Texas.
Grand Saline.
So speaking of being, you know, lacking the audiences in East Texas, in the Hill Country, and you know, near New Braunfels and Canyon Lake, we got to see you play at Canyon Lake a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And man, that venue
was cool.
River Rose Tavern.
That was in
Canyon Lake.
Oh, I need to write them.
When you listen to this podcast, you'll remember.
When the manager or owner comes up to you in a bathing suit, you're in a cool place. All there is to it.
She was amazing. I literally loved her.
But the crowd... She had the crowd literally eating out of her hands.
Oh, I forgot about them. The people from Longview. Remember the people from Longview?
Yes. They were in love with
that
you.
That was a fun time.
It was a fun time. They made that show even more fun. You did a great job. And you made me cry.
You did. You made her cry.
Did. You did.
Why?
You sang...
What did I sing?
Dolly, right? I'll Always Love You.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And it made
and
me
you
think
blew
of my mama.
It out of the water.
Oh, yeah. You blew it out of the water. There's so many. I have so many songs that are like my favorite songs, and I love it when someone plays them so good, if not better than like the original. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you played it. Saying it better than Dolly because
no, that's
Dolly.
That's not that's
right.
impossible.
But you did. But you did your own take on it, and it was so good. And we don't do any covers here. But man, I would love to. I'd love to hear you play that. I'd love to hear you play the one that you play for your grandparents. The
Silver Wings.
No.
Oh, I love that song.
No. It's amazing.
Oh, that's for my dad. When You Said Nothing at All.
When You Said Nothing at All. Keith Whitley. Yes, mm-hmm. That is one of my favorite songs, and you did such a great job.
Do you still do that She Don't Love You song?
Oh, man. I haven't done that in probably a couple of years. But yeah, that's he just told me like a couple weeks ago that I should start playing that again.
That song she's over there in the corner singing, and we're like, God.
Oh, that's the song I did.
That's the song
he remembers. That's how much of a. That's how much of a.
Like, oh, that's
like,
funny.
Like as a man, like you remember when you get your tail end kicked. You always remember that.
Do you?
Oh yeah. I got my tail end before she even went on stage. I was like, yep.
That's it, huh?
I got whooped. I went in there thinking I was like hot shit because I didn't. I was green. I didn't know nothing. I got whooped.
And that's what we talked about. I could never be a musician.
And I think that was when I had just. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just trying. I was thinking back, like. That's when I really I picked up the guitar and like made myself like try and be better so I could play, you know, for like something like that instead of doing a cappella. Because like, you either had to do a cappella or play the guitar or something. And I was a nervous wreck playing the guitar during that competition. So anyway, sorry. I just like I just thought about that. That's so funny.
Now, I got to tell you, at the Rose, you had your guitar player with you.
Yes, Joe. And
he was really good.
Yeah.
Very
good.
I really enjoyed watching him.
Yeah. And we've never got to see you play with your full band.
No, we never have.
Y'all got to do that.
I know. We'll definitely try for sure.
It's a totally different show.
Right.
I don't think I've seen that either.
No, it's really there. And I'm not bragging, but I am bragging. But they're really good. And they've played for me for like 6 years now. And we just added Joe, the guitar player that you saw. We added him a year ago. And I have like first dibs. He plays a lot of people, but I'm like, he's mine. Like I love him. He plays steel guitar, lead guitar, and acoustic guitar. He's from Greenville.
So he does steel.
Yes. And he's retired and plays music and he just loves it. He just loves to play music. So
very nice.
He's amazing. But yeah, y'all need to come to a full band show.
We will.
I know that I'm playing a lot, but like one of my most favorite places that took me several years to get into that means a lot to me. Shout out to Southern Junction in Rockwall, Texas.
Oh, yeah. When are you going?
July 29th. It's on a Friday.
They have got the best dance. Well, second best dance floor.
They do.
Outlaw's got the best dance floor. But their dance floor is huge and everybody dances.
My dad used to take me there and we would dance together all the time. And so that's just like one of my memory place that I'm like, I really want to play here. I want to get in here to play because my dad took me there and we'd go dancing and stuff.
So we will be there
July
29th. July 29th. For sure.
Yeah.
So y'all should come out and see it too.
Yeah. Everybody that goes to Southern Junction needs to tip Billy. He used to be a barback.
Oh, the bartender. Not Billy Joe, but Billy the bartender.
Yeah, Billy the bartender.
Tip them both.
Yeah, you'll know him as soon as you see him. He's got a big old long ponytail.
And he works hard.
He's the hardest working. He's the greatest bartender
I've ever met in my life.
He's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We love that place. We go up there.
Yeah, tip Billy Joe too. Buy merch.
Buy merch. Yeah.
Please,
I said listen to Spotify, but that's like a third of a cent, right?
Yeah, that's pretty
much. Well, but it works. I mean, Spotify, it serves its purpose. It does. And it gets the music out there. You talked about where the cool places are that you played. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to play?
Here goes this. I have like a little bucket list of places that I would, you know, love to play. But I guess my top one, and it's mainly just, this is me, like my confident side, I guess, coming out is because I know that I could bring, you know, a lot of people, not like a whole bunch of people, but I know I could get, you know, several people there, even if I'm just opening for someone. I want to get into Silver Saloon. It's a place my dad used to take me to. And it's I've jumped up there and I sang with a couple of bands back probably 8 to 10 years ago and they'd let me sing a song with them.
Yeah.
But I can't get in there. And I've tried. So maybe one day.
So Silver Saloon, you're missing out. Just saying.
I know.
Silver Saloon, we've gone there quite a bit. It's more for younger
kids.
They
have great just artists. Like they have really even if I was just opening, like big. I just want to play.
Okay.
I want to play the stage.
Alex is like a hard dude to get to respond.
He is. I even have his number.
I need to. I only played there because Bobby Irwin was like, hey man, will you come open the show for us?
I need someone like Bobby Irwin or someone that's like, hey, this is my opener, you know, like I need some. So if y'all play Silver Saloon, shout out, you know, anyone out there. Be like, hey, I want Billy Joe's band to come open for me. Okay.
Alex is so cool, but he will not text.
We've got seen several shows there.
We have.
It's a beautiful facility.
It's
been
facility.
Around for a long time.
No, that place, I want to play there. And then I think my next on my list would be Hank's. I want to get my full band into Hank's. I've only played Hank's on a songwriting thing.
I would love to get
my own show there.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Parking is a little sketchy there. I mean, they need to do something about the parking. It's a little crowded
much.
On the parking. Yeah.
But it was a very cool place. That was the first time we ever saw you. So it was very cool.
And then Green Hall. That's mine. Sorry, I had to like throw that one in there.
Yeah.
That's my other one.
Yeah.
I think that's everyone's like goal.
That's everyone's goal.
And then we could get into the Grand Ole Opry and the Ryman. Like we could go that far too.
Yeah. So speaking of Grand Ole Opry and Ryman,
yes.
You're going to be going to Nashville.
I am. I'm going to be, I'll be back and forth to Nashville quite a bit coming up. That's so I had some pretty cool stuff happen. Matt Fisher and I did a show opening. You love Matt Fisher, don't you? Matt Fisher and I did a show opening up for Billy Bob Thornton over in Lindale, Texas, probably a couple months ago, a month ago or so.
I saw that, and we were out of town, but I wanted to go so stinking bad. It was awesome.
It was really good. And while I was there, this guy and this girl came up to me after the show, and they're like, hey, I'm so-and-so. My girlfriend really wants to meet you. She loves your voice, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, took a picture with them, and... talked to them for like just a minute, but we talked to Billy Bob for like, he talked to us for like 40 minutes after the show. He was really cool.
How stinking cool.
And so anyway, I went home. A few days later, I got this email from this guy that's like, hey, I'm so-and-so. We just wanted to tell you, we really enjoyed your show. I have a partner named so-and-so. And we're kind of doing this, it's kind of like a record label type thing. And he's like, I would love to just, you know, jump on a phone call, Zoom call, and talk to you and see, like, what you want to do. Like, what are your goals? Where do you want to go in music? Because I think I have a lot of connections that can help you, you know. Well, me, being the person that I am, I kind of have had some bad experiences with, like, manager stuff. And so I was just kind of real lenient, and I kind of responded back, like, just not very much. I just kind of responded back a little bit. And then he wrote me again and was like, hey, I really need to talk to you, like, pretty soon, you know, if you can just, you know, jump on a call, whatever. So I'm like, okay, whatever.
Fine, it's
like,
a phone call.
Fine.
I don't believe you.
Here we go. Okay. So I like jumped on a phone call. I think I was driving to pick up his truck or something from somewhere. And I wound up pulling over the side of the road and started talking to these two guys. They told me who they were. One of them is Dave Fowler, that has played with literally anyone and everyone in the music business. And it's him and a guy named Lynn Snow. They started a record label called Get Joe. And they're right now working with Artemis Paul with Lynyrd Skynyrd Band, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And so that, first of all, caught my eye, because I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's
like,
interesting.
Cool, you know? Yeah. And so I went and, like, I kind of was, like, Googling, like, while they were talking and stuff. And they're asking me, like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? So after talking to them, they're like, hey, why don't you come to Nashville? We want you to, you know, come out, see what we're doing, here, you know, the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band that we're working with. And, we want you to, meet, Dolly Parton's producer. And I'm not promising you that, you know, he's going to like you, or that, you know, he'd even want to work with you, whatever, but it just, you know, just the opportunity. Like, we have these connections, and we would just really like to help you get your foot in the door, because we think you're really great. We love your voice. We love your stuff.
Phenomenal.
You know, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, like, you know, this is cool. And so I talked to them a little more, set it up. I flew to Nashville. I got to meet Artemis Paul with Lynyrd Skynyrd Band. I got to see Billy Ray Cyrus, record a couple things in the studio. And then I got to meet Dolly's producer, Kent Wells. And
wow.
The first day I met him, we were just hanging out, like, not even in the studio, but, like, in the little, like, break room, I guess, type thing you call it. And we're just talking. Like, I wear my cowgirl hat. It's my new thing, I guess, I've been doing the past, like, 8 months or so. And we're just talking.
Cute white boots.
Yeah, no, I didn't have those then. but we're just talking and hanging out. And he just was talking about my music and, you know, what all I do. And the guys were like, she's, like, one of the hardest working women. She's constantly working. She's booking shows. She's not just sitting there waiting for something to happen. Like, she's going out and doing it or whatever.
Right.
And so I guess Kent didn't really think that I could, like, hear him. And I had, like, I was talking to someone else, and I heard him say, I'm really digging her. Like, and so I was just like, okay, this is cool. Like, Dolly Parton's producer, you know, that was also Dolly's guitar player, lead guitar player for 30 years.
Right.
And still, he still does stuff with Dolly and stuff. So anyway, so they are going to help me out and kind of do, like, help out my brand. Like, I have a brand, but they're going to help it a little bit more.
Okay.
And they're opening some doors for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And my next three songs are going to be produced by Dolly's producer, Kent Wells. And right now they're getting songs, though, from, like, the bigger writers in Nashville. My stuff is good. They love my songs, but they want, like, Little Past Little Rock, Leanne Womack. They want, you know, Tim McGraw, like, you know, just the bigger writers. So they're
right.
going to pull some songs from them, and I've been starting to hear some of them, and we're going to pick three songs, and then Dolly's producer is going to record them and produce them for me. And so we'll see where it goes, because he wants to take that, and then he's pitching me to some bigger, like, record labels.
So is that your goal? Yes, to get signed by a record
label? It is. Okay. I mean, the right one, and you know, for
with the right
that it's gonna do things, right by me. Right. That would be the best thing for me. And so because they're a record label, but they were like, we think that you know that you're good enough that you know Dolly's producer can help, and we can get you in front of you know some bigger people that can help your career more than what we can right now. So,
okay, I think they sound like nice humans.
Yes, yeah, and they're not just you know. Trying to take money or whatever, you know, like I'm not having to pay for anything. They're like, we just want to help you.
Oh,
and
awesome.
If something happens, then yeah, we, you know, talk about that later, but that you know, so it's just, I think it's going to be really cool. It'll be really cool for my career. Cause I'm constantly busy. I don't think I have any Fridays or Saturdays open from now through December. Which is really cool.
So one day when we saw you, I literally think you had 3 shows in one day.
Was that over in Plain?
No, that was Richardson. You had like 2 more that day.
It was
or
like
something.
You had 2 more. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, that's just, but that's how much she works. I mean, just crazy.
Yeah, I went from there to Granbury. I think I had a show in Granbury, then I had to come back there and play again in Richardson.
That's crazy nuts.
That's the grind, dude.
I'm telling you.
I could do it.
But you, if you love it, then, right? That's what it all boils down to. And you can tell that you love it.
Yeah.
Because you can see it even when you're exhausted, you can see it.
Everyone's like, you look really tired. Thank you. I know. It's a gift to look this tired all the time. You know, I got kiddos. I coach basketball on the side for my kids, and I try to make it to literally every single thing I can. I try to, like, once I figure out, like, what they're doing, sometimes you can't help it. And for those of you out there that are like, oh my gosh, you can't make it to every single one of your kids' things, I'm sorry, like it's life. Like I do the best I can, and my kids know that everything I'm doing is for them, and I firmly believe in what I'm doing, and I know that's the best thing for them.
There you go.
And I have people that will send me pictures or videos or will FaceTime me if I cannot
when your kids
be
are
there.
Doing something?
You know,
very nice.
So I do try to plan everything around my kids. Like this whole summer, my whole summer schedule that I did, I'm like, okay, my kids are with their dad. I can go do this and this and this. And then when they're home, I can just play closer to home and they can go with me. And like, you'll see me bring my kids to stuff. It just depends on, you know, where I'm at or what it is. I won't have all of them because, you know, they get
that's
a little
crazy
sometimes. Well, but one or two, maybe.
That's why it took us so long to get you recorded, because it was like, well, my kids.
Yes.
You're like, wait a minute.
Should give them the mic.
I did. I should have just brought them and like, hey, that would have been terrible.
No, they can go to Luke's house. He's kind of crazy.
I love what I do, and my kids know that what I'm doing is for them, and sometimes they're like, oh, you're going to sing again, you know, and then they're like, okay, well, it's fine, I'm, they love to go to the skating rink, that's like their thing, you know, on Friday, Saturday nights, they want to go to the skating rink, so it works out that I go do a show, they go to the skating rink, when I'm back home, and they're like, pretty much getting back home.
Everybody's happy.
And I have the best live-in babysitter for like the past 6 years, so she's the reason I get to do what I do, because she lives with us, she's my best friend. And, she
I think we met
kiddos.
Her
at
the yeah.
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 Very cool.
Don't tell her I said she's amazing, but she is. She's pretty amazing.
Oh, no, our youngest can't wait for us to go do stuff. He's like, are y'all going out? Because I need the internet.
He's 16. And he is a 16-year-old that we can literally go to New Braunfels for the weekend, especially now that he has a car. Oh, man, that was a game changer.
His is like that.
Totally.
16-year-old is amazing. He's kind of
would never do anything wrong. And dude just takes care of himself.
Dude, when I was 16 and my dad was gone, I was burning the place down. Throwing parties like crazy.
He would not. I don't think.
I was a terrible 16-year-old.
He probably doesn't have enough friends to throw parties. But
that's what we do.
We'll cut that out.
You start throwing parties, you start getting friends, man. That's what gave me the avenue to sing, was being that I threw parties, and then I could play.
And that way
they didn't have
any
choice. You're stuck in my house, right? So I could play. Yeah.
That's cool.
So speaking of playing, you're going to play us another song. What song do you want to play?
Yes, I am. So I'm going to do a new one that not many people have heard.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
What's it called?
Y'all heard it.
But it hasn't been released yet?
But no, it has not been recorded, released, or anything.
Oh, it hasn't been recorded.
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
Perfect.
Nope.
That's because we're special.
It's pretty new. But this one is called I Don't Like You. And
I won't take it personally.
Nice. I know. I tell my husband this all the time. I still love
you. I have heard this song. I like this song a lot.
Did she see it? Did she see it?
I did, and I am... What? No. This goes out to you even more now.
Like 30 minutes.
Oh, man. I thought you just had one of his. I'm like, oh, he has one of your hats. Cool.
No, and yeah. Then, no. That's one of my hats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it took you that long to notice it.
It did. Well, this goes out to you even more now. This song is called I Don't Like You.
I think we'll have to put a picture of that.
No, we're not putting a picture of that.
Oh, please.
We're cutting. I'll tell you what.
There will be a picture of the hat on
somewhere.
Yours.
Mine, yes. Yeah. Dude, I typed up on my notes on my phone. I said, hey, put this hat on and see how long it takes Billy to figure it out. He was just like,
yeah. Stupid. Well, I'll put a picture on it, but I'll mark out the bottom part and yes. I can figure out.
You can figure out
what the inappropriate thing is.
If you figure it out, you get a t-shirt.
Go to one of my shows and you'll figure it out.
That's so funny. No. Anyway, this song is called I Don't Like You. But the words are, I still love you when I don't like you. So I usually talk about it at my shows. I'm like, raise your hand if you've ever said, I still love you, but I don't like you right now. You know, or I don't like what you're doing right now or whatever. So that's kind of my song to my
husband. Yeah, her hand went up really quick during that time.
We always say, you know, we've been married for 30 years, you know, and I don't normally say, and we still love each other because yeah. love is pretty easy, but I will say, but we still like each other.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
She puts up with a lot.
Man, you're so amazing, breathtaking, worth chasing. Damn, you're so frustrating, a bit lazy, hell-raising. It ain't always butterflies and roses. When the storm rolls through, yeah, all I know is I still love you, and I don't like you. I still want you, you're my one of a kind, man. No one gets me like you can. It ain't easy, drive me crazy. I still love you when I don't like you. Sometimes the dust don't kick up till a few years down the road. Really are foundation, little as we go. There'll be moments when you don't like me too. When I bother you with everything I say and do. I still love you when I don't like you. Drive me crazy. I still love you when I don't like you. Oh, I still love you when I don't like you. Sometimes I hate you. I still want you. You're my one of a kind, man. No one gets me like you. It ain't easy, drive me crazy. I still love you when I don't like you. Hey, I still love you when I don't like you.
I love it. And yeah, you're right. It spoke to me.
My dark side's like raging right now. It's like, oh.
I love it. It's pretty. I mean, after 30 years of marriage, you got to have ups and downs. And we've had more ups, a lot more ups than downs.
Yeah,
we've had
some peaks and valleys.
Who deep sea.
That song?
The peaks and valleys.
Peaks and valleys. One of the people recorded. I'll have to look. I don't know. Maybe Devin. Maybe. Anyway. But yeah, I love it. Very cool.
You call
very
that cool. I Don't Like You?
I Don't Like You.
So what do you think about that song, Justin?
I like it.
Have you ever like gone down like the Texas country music charts and read the titles?
Yes.
It's like depressive, ain't it?
It is.
It's all like stuff like that, like the title is like "I Don't Like You" or like "My Heart's Broken," so stuff like that. Like, yeah. It's like the darkest thing that you could ever read.
Give Justin the mic.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
So when she first brought this song to me, I was like, "Hey, I think you're gonna like this song, but you're gonna think it's funny, whatever." And then, but she kept changing the words to "I love you, but I don't like you." And I was like, no, I don't like that. And then she showed me the words. I was like, well, it says that you love me even when you don't like me. That makes more
sense. That's better. I like that better.
Then I love you, but I mean,
from me
you.
Personally, I want it to be like, I love you, but I don't like you. Because that's just me where I'm like, I don't like you. Literally don't like you.
But again. Just right now.
But just, you know, just right now. Yes.
No. That's why we're. I don't know. I think I agree with Justin.
I've had some friends where it's like, yeah, we still love each other, but we can't stand each other. And they had to get divorced because, I mean, they were a perfect pair and they were in love, but they were toxic together, you know? Yeah. So I could see it from that direction.
I had this hairbrush for 5 beautiful years.
You talked about the hairbrush the other day. What's the name?
Leaving the clothes all over the floor, using my towel.
Yeah, I don't understand what the deal is with her towel.
You do not use someone else's towel.
You know.
We each have our own color,
you have
right?
your own towels?
Exactly.
No, yeah, my family, everybody has their own color of towel.
That's so cute.
But I keep track of my towels, right? I know where my towel is hanging up.
And I'm just lucky if I find a towel.
I literally was just sitting here thinking, Luke's probably like, oh, there's one over there on the floor.
Yeah.
He can't find his because he hasn't done his laundry.
What the hell are you doing in the box?
You each do your own laundry?
I stopped doing his laundry a long time ago. Yeah.
Are you serious?
It just makes it easy.
This is a great conversation.
You don't even do your own.
This is true. I can't say anything. I don't do any laundry. Well, but neither does he. Jessica does all of that.
We paid our daughter forever.
She's single.
Do her laundry.
She is, but she does laundry for 10 people.
Tell her about me. Holy crap!
She's a good girl.
She's very
Luke.
Sweet.
Yes, she's very sweet. She's very sweet. Sometimes, this is like, actually, she's really not. But
common like agreement that I'm a bad dude.
No,
which I find hilarious.
I actually like you. You're a nice guy. It was a lot of fun. So back to music instead of towels.
It's all part of it.
We're not a song about towels.
Yeah. No. I mean, you can.
We were talking about your brand earlier, and I mean, I'm old enough to be your dad. It's obvious. So you know, like whenever we were talking about coming and doing it over here, I was like, okay, well, he can't cuss because she's like daisies and rainbows. And
it's like a clean record, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So like, is this gonna work?
Yeah,
because all three of us.
Because I offered it up, but I was like halfway. I was like, nah, Billy probably wouldn't do it.
The funny thing is, y'all. I posted it, and I was like, hey, you know, we're gonna have a guest host, and Billy's messaging me. Who's the guest host?
Who's that?
Well, I was like, who?
Oh, crap.
Justin took the hat off. He's like, all right.
I'm like, oh crap! I didn't even talk to Billy about this. So I was like. If it's okay with you, and she's
and
like,
I didn't
"Oh
care.
Man," she's like,
"I thought it would
be
someone
fun.
Like random, like I didn't know." And I'm like, "I'm kind of like weird, I'm weird sometimes." Yeah. Or I'm like, "If I've met you before, I'm cool, like it's fine." But like if it's someone new, I'm kind of like, "I'm like I'm not more. I guess I'm not more myself because I'm like still in the
with everything you got going
stage,
on.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, stuff like this could ruin your career." Yeah. It really could.
Yeah.
I mean, something could come out where it's like, oh, yeah, I was a crack baby. And, you know what I mean? it really could.
It always comes back to crack with you.
About having, questions. You're like paper, plastic, or Buddy Holly, or Elvis. You know, just stupid questions like that. And our daughter's like, you can't do that. Because the question either way is, it's
a
double-edged sword.
And that's how this whole culture is. So tell us, so you're going to be going to Nashville at the end of July. Right,
I want to go,
and then hoping, and we might be able to try to coincide our trips because we're going to Nashville
once I get
too.
Dates.
Yeah,
hopefully
for sure. And then, so what else do you have going on like in August so everybody can find you? Because that's probably going to be about when your episode's going to be released. The end of July, August.
Yeah, we're never committed.
I know
to
the
order.
First week of August. I I'm going to be at the Hunt Store in Hunt, Texas, which is like near Kerrville, Ingrill.
That's a very cool. Have you played there before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I love playing
there. That's a really cool venue.
The past 3 years, like once or twice a year. Okay. 3 years or so.
Oh, and you're also going to be local. You're going to be at Southern Junction on the 29th of July.
Yes.
Yeah, because we'll definitely.
I think we could make that a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will definitely.
And then August 6th, I'll be back at Hondo's in Fredericksburg.
Very cool.
Place to play. Then I'm actually traveling to Ohio the second week of August. I'm playing a couple places in Ohio, West Virginia.
What a great time of year to go there and get away from the end of the Texas summer heat.
Yes, I think it's going to be great. And then I'm kind of local that next weekend. I'm at Roy City. They do this Cookston Court music thing where it's like the middle of Roy City, like downtown Roy City. Uh-huh. And like the people bring lawn chairs and kind of like sit and listen or whatever. They have like a little stage. Uh-huh. It's really cool. I do that.
That's not too far from us.
That's cool.
And then the 20th, August 20th, I'll be in Rockwall over, I guess I think it's called San Jacinto Plaza in Rockwall, Texas. It's kind of like the same thing as Roy City, but in downtown Rockwall. And people bring lawn chairs and sit out. Okay. And there was a ton of people last year. Matt Fisher and I are playing that one together.
Oh, very nice.
That's my hero.
He just fangirls. Anytime I say Matt Fisher. Yeah, it's what he does.
I love you, but like.
I love Matt. He's amazing.
And you have, I'm assuming you have all social media, website.
Yes, yep. BillyJoeMusic.com. To be honest, that's probably not updated. I think it's updated through July. I'll definitely put the August ones on there before this comes out.
Right, for sure.
Well, we'll definitely attach Spotify, and we have a Spotify playlist that we do that you still get credit for. It's just a playlist where they go through all our.
Right. So we have two Spotify playlists. One where once your episode's been released, it's on the playlist. All of your songs will be on there, and it has all of our artists that have been released. And then we have one once we record you that it's upcoming artists, the ones that haven't been released yet. So you'll be on those. And they're starting to get more and more.
That's awesome.
Too. Yeah. Just any way to get y'all's music out to the people. That's why we're here. And we love it. This is the most fun we've ever had.
To be able to stalk people legally. That's what this is all about. You know, it's not really about the fans. We're just stalking y'all.
Not so much. You really scared Hayden that day. You really did. Oh, Hayden was like, all right, I think it's time to end the interview now.
He's just going to get up to leave.
Yeah.
Hayden was a lot of fun. He's a nice guy. I really liked Hayden.
I cannot honestly say that we have had a bad time interviewing anyone. And I can honestly say that I believe that everyone that we've recorded are decent humans also. And I think that's huge in my world. Right. I mean, you help out the other people. You helped out Chris Cunningham the other night at Texas Music City.
Yeah.
Right.
Chris was our first interview.
Yeah, and he was our first interview.
And he's a great songwriter. He really is.
He really is.
Great guy.
That meeting you, I really dig.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time. Yeah. But it's all about helping each other up and building each other up. Right. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. And I love it.
Well, because we've talked about this before. You know, back in the day, it was like there was only so much fame and you had to fight for it. You know what I mean? So people would literally cutthroat and everything else. Now it's like we're realizing that you know, there's not a minute amount of fame. There's enough to go around. And if you build people up, it comes back to you.
Yeah. And one thing that I've noticed, and you even mentioned that you would ask people, hey, you know, can I play a couple of songs during your break? And I love that. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a bigger stage and the venue is okay with, man, I've got this Frid, can they come up and play during the break? Because nobody wants to listen to the canned music anyway. They're there for live music. Yeah. It gives them, you know, the exposure. I love it. I love it. I love everybody that we've met. So, and we'll have all of the links to all of your social media and everything on our website and on the podcast episode.
And a picture of your guitar.
Oh, yeah. We'll take a picture
of your guitar. And we'll do a link of, where was that guy in Hawkins, right? The guitar?
Action Sound.
Action Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll definitely do that.
Shout out to Action Sound.
Yeah.
In Hawkins.
A new guitar Amazing. Store to go to.
You have a new one to go to. In Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. Our friends opened up Cardinal Music in Stonewall.
Yep. Oh, they're cool. Opening up on the 20th of July. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you're going to play us one more song.
Okay.
What song are you going to play?
This is my most vulnerable song. So when I did that songwriting competition with Jack Ingram, one of the things that they said that they really wanted me to come back sometime, and they wanted to hear like a really vulnerable song. So Tammy and I wrote this song on the way home from Austin when we were there. And this song is called Never. And so this is kind of like my life story, or a little bit of it. But this song pretty much goes out to anyone out there that's ever been told they couldn't do something or they couldn't be the person that they wanted to be because someone had a hold of their life and they were trying to control them. And that can be for a man or a woman.
Right.
I'm sorry, girls, but you do the same thing
yep.
that men do. That could be for a man or a woman. And so this kind of goes out to anyone that's just ever been, you know, feel like they were just being controlled, you know, and I was in that marriage for several years, longer than what I should have been. So this song, I just kind of hope it helps people and helps people realize that you're stronger than what you think you are and you can get out of whatever you're in. It's not worth it. If you're unhappy, it's not worth it. It doesn't matter, especially if it's, you know, something physical and not just emotional. Mine was emotional, but either way, like you're stronger than what you think you are and God has a better plan for your life, you know. So this song is called Never, so I hope you'll like it. At first you were so charming, but you were everything I wanted. And slowly I began to see the truth. And you said that you loved me, and I heard a million sorries, said I would never make it without you. You tried to beat me down, 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 but I didn't break. You tried to push me round, 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 glad I got away. Bet you never saw that coming, bet you never thought I'd leave, bet you never thought I'd find that strength inside of me. Never thought I'd rise from ashes, never thought that I'd move on. Damn, it feels so good to prove you wrong. All of those never, never, nevers made me strong. Can't move me around and get your way. I don't need nobody else. I found happy with myself. And hell, I don't even speak your name. Bet you never saw that coming. Bet you never thought I'd leave. Bet you never thought I'd find that strength inside of me. Beat me down, 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 but I didn't break. You tried to push me round, 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 glad I got away. Bet you never saw that coming, bet you never thought I'd leave, bet you never thought I'd find that strength.
Well, this was a hell of a lot of fun. I had to say something. I was about to tear up.
My whole heart, dude.
You know, there's not very often we have a we didn't cry in Luke's interview, but almost every interview that we've done, somebody cries.
Once again, I want to thank Billy Joe for coming and being on the podcast and hanging out with us. Justin for sitting there and putting up with having to listen to all of our shenanigans. Oh, yeah.
Billy Joe really put up with a lot between Luke and her husband wearing that stupid hat.
Yeah, so I'll have a picture of that hat with the
we'll blank out the bottom part.
And you'll just have to figure out what it was saying.
Ooh, we'll make a game of what does the hat say?
What does the hat mean? But yeah, Billy Joe is such a class act, and she's so stinking talented.
I absolutely cannot believe that she is not a nationally headlining act right now.
Yeah.
Her music, along with her stage presence, along with her she's absolutely beautiful and her voice is just incredible. And I can't believe that she's not nationally recognized so far.
Yeah. Yeah. But
you guys, you'll hear this episode and then you go, wow, she's incredible. And then 2 or 3 years from now, when she's
big,
blowing Nashville out, you'll be like, man, hey, I got to hear that.
I heard her win. I heard absolutely. Her on. Yep. So many of our people that we recorded. Yeah. I really feel that where they're going.
I think I made a comment the other day about the CMT. What was it? The CMT
CMA
thing?
CMA Fest or whatever.
I'm telling
TV.
You, I cannot believe I would put up any of the people we've had on the podcast so far with 99% of the people that were on that.
Oh. 100%.
It was absolutely. I was sitting there going, man, you know, I got to thinking about a lot of the songs we've heard in the past, from Chris Cunningham's Meeting You to Jason's Terlingua and
Peyton's
A Little
Country
Break.
Before Me.
Oh, and Country Before Me by Peyton.
I mean,
and Laking It Easy by Dusty.
Even the fun songs. And Left Arm Tan.
Oh, my gosh. Anything by Left Arm Tan.
What is your favorite song? The Good Old Days.
Oh, The Good Old Days.
But it's one of our favorite songs.
It's a song. I tell you what, you just go back and listen to the episode and you'll love it. And I encourage everybody right now, before you start back to school and before the grind starts, get in your car, play Left Arm Tan, El Camino, Trans Am,
Undefeated,
Old 45. Get in it and just go for a drive listening to this music. It 100%. Will change your life. Go on Forest Lane and cruise Friday night listening to Left Arm Tan.
And man, Billy Joe's songs. So she played a couple of songs, I think, that aren't released, mm-hmm. and they are so good. So the only place you can hear them is here.
Yep.
But
we're special like that.
I love it. And I mean, Jeff Canada, you know that.
We love you.
We're like BFFs, right? So Patreon is out, y'all. It is there for you to become a Patreon member, and we need your support. Mm-hmm. It's $4 a month.
Yes.
Right? So less than a cup of coffee. I mean, today we went grocery shopping.
It's like $48 a year, guys.
Less than anything. I mean, you can't even buy a freaking thing of eggs for less than $4. Anyway, $4 a month, and you get, for every month that you're a paid Patreon member, you get one entry in to win the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably going to have two guitars to give away at the end of the year. Yeah. At the end of the year will be our 1 year anniversary, which is in March. And then we're also going to be giving away, starting this month, at the end of the month, or actually probably it'll be September. We're going to go ahead. I said October 1st, but we're going to start September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give away one piece of signed merchandise every month. And the winner, honestly, I will just let them pick which one they want.
Yes.
So if you're, you know, if you're a Hayden Haddock fan, then I've got Hayden Haddock t-shirts. If you're a Jeff Canada fan, I've got a Jeff Canada hat. We even have, for Jeff Canada, for his Do-Si-Do thing, we got the whole band to sign the playlist.
Oh, I thought I was going to get to keep that.
Oh.
All right. We'll give it away.
Okay.
It's going to go in the studio, but
Peyton Howie,
I guess so.
Pretty much. Almost everybody that's been on the podcast, we have signed merchandise from
pretty
them.
Much yeah almost
and,
everybody
yeah almost and if we don't, then
you owe
we need some but anyway, so that's $4 a month. You get those things, plus we're going to be doing some bonus episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it might be like one a month or something like that, and I think it's just going to be to start out for the Patreon members.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so that you get bonus content. And it's going to be different than our regular episodes. I'm not going to get into details because we've got a couple of different things, but it's going to be super cool. Totally worth the $4 a month just for that. And then we're working on merchandise. Mm-hmm. And Patreon members will be the first people that get access to it. We are also hopefully planning some live events coming up probably next year in 2023. Mm-hmm. And Patreon members will be the first people that have access to getting tickets mm-hmm. for those things as well. So there's a lot of cool things for the Patreon members for $4 a month. Plus, if you want us to keep doing this, then we're going to need probably some support. It's very expensive, and man, everything has gotten expensive, as everyone knows. Plus, our daughter's going away to college, and that's ridiculously expensive. And
yeah, I tried to get her to be a plumber. She wants to be a teacher.
No, she wants to be a teacher. And she's going to SFA, which is a great school for teaching, but it's as expensive as A&M.
It is.
Right?
And teacher, no gold ring.
Yeah, teacher and nurse here. They have silver rings. Teacher and nurse here, so it's not like we have, you know, a whole lot of extra income. But anyway, but we love this. We want to keep doing it. And doing the Patreon is one way that we can. And it's also giving y'all the opportunity to help support us like we help support live music in Texas. And I really want to thank all of the musicians that are helping to support us in our podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, Jason Kyle Wickens, every time he always likes or comments or shares our posts. Jeff Canada, as I said, man, you're just amazing. Peyton Howie always does stuff.
Andy Holloman.
Allie Matthijs.
Allie Matthijs mentioned us during concert the other day. That really made me feel good.
Those are the people that are helping us, and we really appreciate that as well. So anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to throw a thank out on a couple of songs that kind of made me feel good the other day. If you haven't heard this song by Jeff Canada yet, Monsters, if you're feeling really bad or something's bothering you, go listen to it. It's really an incredible song.
It's such a good song. It's one of my very favorite songs.
Incredible song. I mean, it's kind of helped me through some stuff here recently. And then again, another song that I've got to tell everybody about, we've talked about it 100 times, is Andy Holloman's Love is Spoken Here. Oh my gosh, I cry every time.
I can hear it in his voice. He's tearing up.
It's
saying
an incredible
the
song. Yeah, it's an incredible song.
Yeah.
So I promise you, if you're missing your mom, you're missing your dad, or you know, you're just being nostalgic about your childhood or whatever,
man, it'll
listen
put you
to
in
this
your
song.
Feels.
Yes, yep, it really will.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
So to all the musicians, if you're interested in being on, send us your music in a place we can come hear you play, and we'll definitely talk about putting you on.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd really like to get some of you jazz guys and soul guys. I'd like to hear from y'all.
Yeah. Oh, and next week we're going to have the Teague Brothers on. Their episode, which is going to be a little bit different.
Yes.
Right? We recorded them live at Magnolia.
Which a lot of background noise.
There is. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of background noise, but it's Magnolia Motor Lounge in Fort Worth. We recorded them before them and Left Arm Tam played. And so we weren't able to have them play acoustically throughout the interview like we normally do. But AJ sent us the actual recording from that night. So we have, we have the whole concert. We're not gonna share the whole concert.
We might later episode one day, but it's a long one.
Right. It is. And it's also all of Left Arm Tan's before as well.
Yes.
But we're gonna pick four of the songs that the Teague Brothers played that night. And there's one song that they harmonized just
It's awesome.
It will blow you away. It will bring you back to the Eagles.
It's really hard to decide which one, Left Arm Tan or Teague Brothers. I mean, they both just harmonize so incredibly.
I'm telling you. Yep.
If you haven't figured out, I'm a big Left Arm Tan fan. Left Arm Tan fan.
I mean, you know.
Well, of course, I'm a fan of everybody we've done so far.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Driftin' Alone is still one of my favorite songs by Sean. So, guys, all these, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you're a friend of mine, you're not listening to these episodes, and you're going to piss me off.
Yeah. And then also listen to our playlist.
Yes.
So you were in Racetrack the other day.
And they're going to start. Howie. Yeah, the manager's going to start playing her playlist at one of them.
Yeah, but he walked in and Peyton Howie.
Peyton
was
Howie's actually on
the thing, and
I looked
at
him, and he goes, I go, that's an incredible song, and he goes, yeah, I found it, and he was telling me how he found it, and I was like, well, we just recorded her, and he's like, what do you mean recorded her? And I told him about the podcast and told him about the playlist.
Yeah,
and he immediately he's a big country music fan. Yeah.
For all of y'all that don't know, we do have a playlist, and I'm starting to kind of take a couple of the songs off because it got so big that we drove all the way to Houston and we didn't get through it. And I just thought that was just too much. But every artist that has been on our podcast that has music out there on Spotify, their songs are on that playlist. And it's Gotta Love Texas Music Artist Playlist, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. All you got to do is put in Gotta Love Texas Music and it comes up.
And it'll pop up. Yeah, for sure.
And other than that, I'd like to shout out to Jackson Randolph. This is his first week in college. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
I think you'll do awesome. Yeah. And I can't wait to hear your song Friday Night in Texas. I cannot wait to hear it on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, also Luke LaProd. So Luke LaProd's episode.
Oh yes,
that was
last week's. It broke records.
It's breaking records, y'all. Luke LaProd has more downloads.
Not plays, but downloads.
Right, downloads than any other one of our podcasts for the first week. And the only podcasts that have more downloads than his, and it hasn't even been a week yet, are our first three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if, you know, well, it'll be too late now. But, I mean, literally, if he gets like 40 more downloads in the next between now and 5 o'clock in the morning, then
he'll have more than anyone else
after the first week. So stinking cool. So excited about him. He's such an amazing guy. And we loved having him on the podcast and then having him as a host as well.
So make sure you, if you listen to these guys, make sure you tell them, you know, you heard it here first.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to continue to promote as much as we can, as long as we can, guys.
Yep.
But I just went grocery shopping with my wife today, and I haven't been in a long time, and I literally lost my freaking mind.
I felt like I was standing there next to like my grandmother back in my day.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I went in, and I'm used to paying like, you know, on back to school, you know, like, you know, a composite notebook, like 50 cents. They were like $2.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous.
And I mean, just some of the stuff was just, it was almost to the point of being like, yeah, well, now I understand why my students can't afford this stuff.
All right, y'all. I think that's long enough.
Yes, and we are actually going to get to see you on the dance floor because
we danced.
Yeah, not as much as we used to, and but we're taking it easy.
No progressive. We tried that, and I started feeling it pull. So
we're laking it easy.
Two-step. We are laking it easy.
Yeah, we're laking it easy.
All right,
see what I did there?
I do. I see what you did. Don't forget to overtip your bartenders, your servers, and
the musicians.
Of course, the musicians, and a lot of them just don't have tip jars, but you know what you can do? You can go online and follow them on social media, follow their Spotify, follow their Apple Music, buy their merchandise, and man, just, you know, tell them how great they are.
Talk to your local bar. Tell them you need live music.
Oh, 100%.
Tell them you need live music.
Tell them you need live music.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with karaoke. Go for it. I don't care. But there's nothing like a person that put their heart and soul into a song and will sing it.
Amen. Their original music, for sure. All right, guys. Until next time, we'll
see you on the dance floor.